Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Tip of the Hoop Podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Maples, a.k.a. J. Mapes, here as always with the bro, Kings. Kings, what's going on?
Hey, doing good, bro. You know, living good, all that. You already know.
Yeah, you know, the Wiggins agenda is thriving, so I know you're ready.
Business is booming. Business is booming.
The brand is healthy, as they say. Let's hop right into it. Warriors take a commanding 3-0 lead over the Mavs. With a 109-100 victory, Steph came out with murder on his mind, 31-11. Wiggins' playoff career high, 27-11. Klay, not efficient, but did finish with 19-7. I got to go. I'm going to let you get your Wiggins rant off. But I got to ask, are you a little surprised the Mavericks haven't put up a better fight this series? Because even this game three, you didn't sense the desperation or urgency being down 2-0. The Warriors jumped on them early. They made one little run to get the lead, and then the third quarter came, and everything was just swimming upstream from there. Are you a little surprised the Mavericks didn't put up a better fight this series or haven't yet? It's 3-0.
I mean, game two was the one for them to finish off. Shot well. Brunson gave them 30. Game two was the one that they needed to close. I had this series going seven. So same. I would say – I want to say I'm shocked, but honestly, at the same time, I'm not. Because when you sit down and think about it, like, people, you know, they're ready to anoint Luka, and he's going to be up next for sure. But you got to remember, what does he do that the Warriors have not seen yet? I mean, these guys have gone to war with LeBron James at his peak. They've gone to war with Harden at his peak. Like, they know, they've seen the best of the slow the pace, heliocentric ball. They've seen the best of that already. Now, these guys are well-equipped to defend that schematically, and their vets are well-equipped to defend that from an on-the-court standpoint. And if you look at a team like the Mavs, really, defensively, they can't get the stops like the Rockets were getting. They can't get the stops like the Cavs were able to get because, you know, even though Harden wasn't a defensive anchor per se or something like that, he could sit down the post. You have Ariza. You have all the other switchable fours. Capella was pretty solid on switching, and then PJ Tucker, obviously, and then their small ball scheme and their 3-and-D players. And then you go to the Cavs. I mean, who else you had? You had, you know, LeBron James anchoring the defensive unit. JR, they got JR to sit. They got Shumpert to get effort. They got TT when he was still switching and attacking the glass. So it's different because, you know, those teams were more well put together overall. And on both ends than this Mavericks team. I mean, this Mavericks team has played great team defense, but you kind of saw what happens when you lack that rim protection, that ability to be able to get to bother guys at the rim. Because that's what got Golden State in the game last game, game two. They stopped hunting the threes. They started attacking for layups, and they couldn't stop the layups. Even in this fourth, you saw it with Curry, you know, getting easy layups, getting dribble penetration. You saw Wiggins attacking the rim. You know what I mean? It's just – it's hard for the Mavs because they want to play small, but the Warriors play small better. Like, that's just the bottom line. So it's gotten to this bad matchup situation. And, you know, when you get into a bad matchup situation with the Warriors, they don't – man, you're not winning that one. Like, you know what I mean? You're not going to get any type of easy wins because they just can't out-small ball the Warriors. You have to have some type of advantage that you can – from a roster standpoint, from a lineup standpoint, that you can exploit consistently in the – the Mavs right now don't have that. So, and then to speak on Wiggins, man, I don't know what happened. I don't know who got him to play like this. I don't know if it was Clark on the Grizzlies. Salute to you for waking my boy up. But, boy, he has been bringing it on both ends, competing on both ends, showing emotion, showing passion, displaying his athleticism. Just not enough to say for this guy. I did say anyone but the Warriors before this series. I have completely flipped. It's like I said, Mar and our boy JT Space. I said, if Warriors win the chip, I'm okay with it as long as Andrew Wiggins is a champion. That's it.
I got to give it to Wiggins. Like, just piggybacking on what you just said, just a special turnaround. Because I promise, I'm watching Minnesota games back then. It just looked like at times he was just not interested in the game. So to see him with the full turnaround, I gotta give him his respect. On the other part of it, I'm disappointed in Dallas. When you depend that heavily on threes, I'm just not, you know, they have too much time for that. They got three guys off the dribble who can go get to the money. They got Dinwiddie who can get to the money. They got Brunson who can get to the money, and, of course, a superstar in Luka. Mm-hmm. So when you take 75 shots and 45 of them are threes, there's just no diversity in your offense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were 17 for 30 from two and 13 for 45 from three. They got to attack the basket. They have it this series. It's everything. They're driving with the intent to get guys three-pointers. And that's just been very frustrating to watch. And the other thing I noticed is the Warriors' second – this playoff run, their second half scoring is the highest it's ever been in the NBA in 55 years. They're averaging 61 points per second half in the playoffs. Highest in 55 years. What they do at halftime, they get just going to another gear. And whoever they see in the finals, barring a historic collapse, of course, I doubt we'll see it. They're going to have to be prepared in the third quarter to match the Warriors' energy. They come out a different team at halftime. So, you know, I'm come out mostly disappointed in Dallas. I didn't expect Dallas to win the series, so I'm not like – it's not like I'm just, you know, man, why'd I do this? But I didn't expect them to put up more of a fight. You know, and as far as the Luka thing goes, you can read me his stat sheet, 40 and 11. I know what I saw out there tonight. It was not great. The decision-making, he's usually a top-tier decision-maker. That was not there. A lot of foul baiting that wasn't being rewarded, and it was affecting him getting back on defense on the other end, affecting his general approach to the game, in my opinion, from my eyes. And it just wasn't great to me. And then defensively, it's just been a real bad all series. You know what I mean? So if you say all that, he still have 40 because he's that talented.
Yep.
Just want to see some things get shored up. He's got to become at least a passable defender because it's just not good. It's not good. I'm disappointed. I thought they'd be, and even like you said, it like they did. Game two was the game, but they did all that. Went up 22 and still ended up losing by 9. So after they went up 22, they lost the game by 30. So they haven't been competitive in this series, which is the frustrating part. I mean, I hate to be this guy, but dude, I mean, Jokic got one.
I tweeted that people were saying he was down 3-0-2. I'm like, but that's our point though. He got one, so we better see. One, man.
We'll see what happens. I think this series is effectively over. I don't see them beating that team four times in a row, save something miraculous happen. But I'll say this. All things considered, I think Dallas, you know, after a rough start, their last 47 games, they said they went 35-12, ended up being a top five defensive team altogether. But I think, you know, me and you both spoken on this, people we've had on, playoff basketball is just real different.
Sir, man.
They hunt matchups. The style of the game slows down a bit. Everything changes. So offensively and defensively, you got to come different in the playoffs or you just lose. And I think I'll say this. The Warriors, the dynasty that they have, I said the biggest compliment I give to them is their versatility.
Yeah.
You know, big, small, guys playing above their pay range. Just Wiggins and Looney have allowed them to play small. And nobody's been able to punch them on the glass. Mm-mm. And I think that's been the key. You know, they've kept it even keel, and they've been fashioning everybody to every loose ball, every rebound. And I think that's changed the series.
You know, it's funny with the, you know, Philly's known for trust the process, and it's kind of sucks that they didn't actually let Hinkie complete his process. I feel like he could have done some things too. But the Warriors kind of have their process When they hit that, when KD left, when Klay got hurt, Curry got hurt, and they made some moves that people were questioning. They did some things that people were questioning. They saw the long-term vision. You know what I mean? They saw what was to happen going forward. I mean, even if you think about it, right? What people talk about, what issue they're missing, right? They don't have a big, right? What happens if Wiseman gets right now? You know what I mean?
Right.
What happens if Wiseman get right? You know what I mean? They have thought so well into the future and have put pieces in place for them to correct any type of issues they have going forward. I mean, you talk about Dre falling off and they lose Dre. Well, you got Kuminga ready to go. You know what I mean? You talk about you need more bench shooting. You got Moody ready to go. You got Poole ready to be that second guy to take it, big pressure off crazy ages. You know what I mean? You know, you can move – Wiggins has played so well, you can move him next season or you can use him to help you keep that run going. You know, you now you have versatility there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, they've just done an excellent job with their process. Shout out Coach Rich. He told people to believe and trust the offer office. He is winning this season. I know people like to think that Coach Rich just be talking. No, ladies and gentlemen, Coach Rich is winning this season. His teams are, in fact, being successful this season. And, man, the Warriors are on their way, man. It's just, they win a chip, all hell breaking loose.
Yeah, man, I got to – they just – it's kind of like what the Spurs had in mind if Kawhi didn't leave.
Yep.
Like, he was their bridge, and now they got all these young guys around. They're missing, like, the guy, you know. They'd have Kawhi with DeJounte, you know what I mean? Just and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, I still got to complete it, obviously, but I think, you know, that's what they wanted. They wanted contention and to maintain their youth and flexibility, and they've done that. So I'm interested to see how they look in the future, man. It'll be real, real interesting to see how that goes.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals, a little bit of a surprise, in my opinion at least. The Miami Heat go into Boston and get home court back, 109-103 victory. Heat come out scorching hot from three, knocking everything down. Bam set the tone early, finished with 15-22 shooting, 31-10-6. Definitely took advantage of no Robert Williams, who had been really making a tough form the first couple games. The Boston side, probably Tatum's worst game of the playoffs, 3-for-14, 41 points, 6 turnovers on top of that. Just real rough, real odd game for Boston. I think they are susceptible to these games offensively. What made me kind of raise my eyebrow was defensively. That was probably the worst half of defense or worst quarter and a half of defense I've seen them play this season. Guys getting lost, wide open threes. We both noted before the series, Miami is the best three-point shooting team in basketball coming into the playoffs. They hadn't been that in the all playoffs, and it just kind of it showed itself early. But you talk to me about this game, man. What did you see out there?
Saw Coach Spo masterclass, man. Best coach in the NBA. That is him. That is him, ladies and gentlemen, man. You talked about it. Talk about the type of sets he runs, the type of rotations he has. It don't matter how much you're getting paid. Doesn't matter what your name is, man. He going to put whoever works. Gabe Vincent, step right in. I was watching Strus in the summer league live.
I remember, Vegas. Yeah.
He's saying that, oh, this guy nice, you know, but there's no way he's going to get PT, but I like his game. And I look at him, he balling in the Eastern Conference Finals. Come on.
34 minutes.
Coach Spo, if you can ball, you playing. Like, that's that simple. He has a scheme. You know, he has sets that he wants to run. He has defense that needs to be played. he expects you to be able to do all of that. If you can't do it, Tyler Hero, or if you're having a bad, you know, if you're having a bad game, you're not playing up to par. If you're Duncan Robinson, who can't be effective in his mind, you're not going to see the floor, because guess what? They want to win, and they win games. They win games because what he does works. It's effective. Mm-hmm. And no, in the second half, what impressed me, no Jimmy Butler. I mean, the Suns were pressing. It was 8-on-5. Let's call it for what it was, 8-on-5.
That was a nasty. I was about to ask you. That was 8-on-5, bro.
And it was so bad, even the Celtics fans were like, some Celtics fans were kind of like, yeah, you know. The rest, look, they were trying to help us out. It was bad. And the fact that the Heat were still able to win, hold their poise, win. I mean, my Niger boy, Depot, bro. Shout out to him, bro. He is clamping. I mean, it's weird because his offense isn't really there, but his tenacity, his physical aggression on defense is almost like it was when he was at his peak. I mean, he is clamping right now, and boy, it's infectious. And then you had Kyle Lowry come back. All he does is make winning plays. And the game, it's not pretty. It's annoying, but he makes winning plays, bro. Like, he just makes winning plays.
Yeah, he gave him 29 gutsy minutes. Only 4 for him, but he's a plus 10. Defensively, plays great defense, got 4 steals.
Man.
6 assists. They're plus 10. Gives him another, you know, even at his increased weight, does look a little heavy. Even at that, still a decent shot creator. But to me, this was about, they got a really, to me, really gutsy game from P.J. Tucker. 17-7. He was huge. But Bam, I think Bam set the tone early. He was coming out aggressive. I think, you know, Spo definitely saw no Robert Williams. We got to go and get to Bam early when he's aggressive. Bam is so much of a better player than when he's passive and trying to be, you know, a facilitator. Go score, man. You got the talent. But here's where I am. So they said Jimmy's injury is not serious. Miami's up 2-1, but I still got Boston winning this series. And they go 7 now instead of 6. I still got Boston winning this series. I just don't think Miami can score enough. I mean, they got up real big and just were holding on for dear life. But, they got it done. And I'll say this, to add on to what you said about Spoelstra, Tyler Hero, 6th man of the year, leading score, not effective. Spo says, okay, you only play 20 minutes. Duncan Robinson, biggest tension in the offseason. Can't defend, not hitting shots at a good enough clip to justify staying on the floor 4 minutes. So you got your 6th man of the year and your high paid sniper, 24 combined minutes. In a play, I got to give Spo credit. He's like, you know what? We got to go with what's working. You know, egos and awards and money aside, the Miami Heat need to win. And that's, to me, that's great coaching right there. And it also takes a lot of personality management too. So, and ego soothing as well. So you got to give him that part too.
Hey, man, like Coach Rick always reminds us, these are guys, you know, this is Coach Spo. This is a guy who, you know, knew LeBron, went up top, wanted him gone. Looked him in the eye, and he still coached, still did what he had to do. And he's a dog. Coach Spo is a dog, man. You saw it with Jimmy and the fight at the end of the season. He don't back down from nobody.
Yeah.
He has faith in his coaching. He has faith in what he does, and it works. That's what you need as an NBA coach. That's a real boy. Shout out Coach Spo, man.
Yeah, so I got to ask. Then we both picked – I said Boston in 6 – did you say 6 or 7?
I think I said Boston in 6.
In 6. How are you feeling going? How are you feeling about your pick at this point?
I mean, it could still be Boston in 6, but
I don't think they're gonna win 3 in a row though. That's all.
Yeah, I just can't see it. So, I mean, I still expect Boston to win too. I just think they just have more offense at the end of the day. Even you saw in this game was a struggle, and the Jimmy's really hurt, compromised going forward. I don't think there's any way Miami can pull this off. Yeah. But you never know. Tyler Hero can get hot.
Yeah, that's but
Duncan Robinson can get
the
hot.
The guy you don't believe in, the guy you told me all play.
Hey, I don't, but you know, they've won 2 without him doing much of anything. So if he gets hot for 1, you know what I mean? That's another game right there, potentially. You know what I mean? So,
so the big X factor for me is the Robert Williams issue.
Yeah.
Because if he can't play, they have nothing for Bam. if the Bama side is going to be aggressive, Robert Williams isn't playing. They just don't have anything for him. He's too quick for everybody else. Has very good face-up ability. If he's hitting that little short mid-range, he becomes pretty much unstoppable. And I think having to give him more attention opens up the shooters that Miami wants to use as the, you know, best shooting three-point team in basketball, or best three-point shooting team in basketball. I think that's the key for me. If Robert Williams remains out or compromised, Boston gets in trouble. And I think on the Boston side, somebody will stay with my, I'll look at Tatum having his worst game ever in the playoffs, 3-for-14. You know, you had a million turnovers, 23 turnovers, 7 from Brown, 6 from Tatum. And you still, you know, it was a 1-point game, but like 6 minutes, 5 minutes left in that game. You know what I mean? So I think the stuff Boston did was more aberration. And I don't think a lot of what Miami did is sustainable, especially that hot shooting start. You know what I mean? So I definitely think it's going back to Miami 2-2. I don't think they go on 3-1 tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Like, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked. But two things to look out for. Again, Robert Williams' availability. Second, how serious is Marcus Smart's injury? I think that matters. They said it was swollen. And he's going to just try to give it a go. We'll see how that feels. He did try to come back tough as nails, but you could tell he was definitely hampered by it when he came back. So that's also something else to look out for. Before we move on, what do you think about the physicality of this series? Like them boys in there banging on both ends. This is probably one of the most physical series we've seen in a minute. I think probably since that Boston Toronto series in a bubble.
I mean Boston Milwaukee was the same thing. You had people crying that they were playing football. Yeah. So it's just been some. But that's how it is when teams play great defense. That's how those series beat. Always physical series, because that's how defense is played. That's how it's a physical thing. So, you know, so when you make the game less physical, or you try to take that aspect away, or you try to make it more finesse, you get people to complain about, oh, they don't play defense no more, because people know when you play defense, it's a physical game. So there is some type of credence to people saying that, oh, they don't play as good as defense as they, now as before. They say it because, you know, in the regular season, when it's up and down, you don't see this type of physicality often, because, you know, it's the games ref more freely. Teams are more, you know, just trying to get their runs in more, so running certain sets, not trying to hone in necessarily all the time. But when you get these elite defense teams or these great defensive teams in the playoffs, they know all the tendencies. They scout everything. They got every scheme ready to go, and the refs just letting them play more than they normally do. You get this physical matchup. It's physical hoop. It's not dirty. Like, certain people like to make certain things out to be when guys are just hustling for the ball. You know what I'm saying? it's just physical basketball. It's a contact sport at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So that's
what we both like Boston tomorrow. Correct. It's hard for me to see 3-1.
Yeah, it's hard.
You think even when Tatum's had rough games, he's bounced back in a big way. Also, but P.J. Tucker, that defense is different. I mean, he hounds you off the ball. Like, they show the off-ball camera. Him following Tatum around, he's got to be wearing him down at this point. He's got to be wearing him down. So,
hey, I mean, I saw PJ go toe to toe with KD.
Yeah,
you know, he was getting cooked on some of those, but he was also winning some of those, and he was going, giving his all, and he ain't break down. So, PJ can go all series long and need be.
Yeah, man, I think just real quick looking back a series. I think maybe we kind of downplayed how much Milwaukee missed him. They couldn't stop the Jays.
I was literally thinking that when you brought him up, 17 points, like, man,
they couldn't stop the Jays. So
they needed him, man. They needed that wing defense. I mean, Wes Matthews tried to make up as much as possible, but I think if you took out Grayson Allen and you put PJ Tucker, they win that series.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously Middleton's injury was the big thing, but
right, of course, with Middleton there.
Yeah, they couldn't stop the Jays. Last thing before we get out of here, a little bit of rumors about the Lakers coaching search. Down to final three: Terry Stotts, Darvin Ham. Who's the third name again? It was three guys. Oh, Kenny Atkinson.
Atkinson. Good crop.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. You know, I prefer, you know, Ham or Atkinson, to be honest.
Overall, I think Stotts more of the contingent. I think I think from what it sounds like, they want Stotts on regardless as an assistant.
Huh.
I think that's some of the things I've heard. Like Stotts seems to be somebody that they're interested in keeping regardless of who they sign. It might be one of those things. Remember when they had Vogel as a head coaching candidate, but he was supposed to be a lead assistant to the Monies or the Lou's when they came on. So I think there might be the similar situation with Stotts, where he's a guy that they bring on to be the lead assistant for, Tam or Atkinson. But if it doesn't work out with those two, then they'll just go ahead and hire Stotts. But I don't think that'll happen. I think they'll finally get their prize candidate this time. And I think that's a good start. You know, I'm not sure what they're trying to do with the Russell Westbrook situation.
I'm going to get to that next, just real quick. Of those three, who's your pick at this point?
Of those three, I would say Ham, because I think the Lakers need to get back to identity, and that's defense.
Yeah.
And we all see defense win chips. Like, they need to take advantage of the actual generational gifts of Anthony Davis, and that's the defense that he has, the versatile defense at the five spot that he brings. And they need somebody who's going to play him at the five spot and hold him accountable to do what he needs to do. And I think Ham will be able to do that.
Ham checks a lot of boxes for me. Got the championship pedigree as an assistant, been through playoff run, dealing with, adjustments and defending different schemes. Everything I've read about him, I've been digging in on articles, talking about his command, his presence, his ability to talk to players and galvanize and motivate. I think that's a big issue. That's probably something that Frank was really lacking at, based on what I was hearing. He's just a real, scheme guy, not so much the motivator. So I think Ham is a big plus there. I would like to see, Alvin Gentry end up staying in Sac as a front office, but if Stotts can be like some type of the offensive coordinator,
that
would be great. But, I really would like him to get a shot. I think he needs the team needs a commanding voice. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and say it. None of that matters. They can't get off Westbrook. I'm sorry. None of that matters if you can't get off Russell Westbrook. You're not going to win with this version of him. Not at a high level. You're asking him to play off ball, because you're not going to put LeBron off the ball. You're asking him to play off ball and defend at a high level. It's just
the Lakers need to ask themselves who they want to be.
Right.
You want to be that free agent destination team? If that's the case, screw whatever picks you got.
Yeah.
Send them home and go get Brogdon and Turner, or go get Hayward and Uber or whatever. If you want to be a team that cares about the future, then send LeBron to Brooklyn and send AD to Chicago.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You don't have the team. You don't have the assets to do both.
Yeah, I was going to say,
You have to choose which one you want to be. You want to be a championship, we can sign whoever, because we're the Los Angeles Lakers, Brad, and we got the cap space too in the future. If you want to do that, get the picks off. If you want to care about your picks and be able to build and be able to draft first round picks, then trade LeBron James and AD for young stars and first round picks. Like, you have to make the decision. Like, you have to have an identity. You have to have an identity, and you have to stick with it. Like, that's what the thing. You cannot do this weird stuff that they've been doing. Like, you know what I mean? You completely went away from that, lost all your youth, lost all your young defenders, and went for old guys to try and win a chip. Like, man, bro, they need to have an identity and need to stick with it. What it looks like is that they want to defend and they want to play championship winning ball, because you're getting Ham, so you need the right guys around to when you get someone like Ham. That means you need to move off Russell Westbrook, because Ham's not he's not maximizing Russell Westbrook. That's not happening. So you need to move off Russell Westbrook if you're chasing somebody like Ham. If you're getting someone like Atkinson, he don't want to play guys like Russell Westbrook. He don't believe in them. He thinks they're washed. He didn't want to play DeAndre Jordan at all. That's why he got hired. So you know what I'm saying? So if you're getting guys like that, then you got to buy in. It's like, you give them the championship pieces right away, or you rebuild and tell them, hey, help us rebuild. Like, you have to choose one. Like, you just have to.
There it is. Lakers got to poop and get off the pop, man. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Make sure you follow @KingsBro on Twitter. Make sure you follow myself, JJMaples55_MST. Make sure you subscribe and follow the pod. Leave feedback, rate it, please. We appreciate all of that. This really helps the pod grow. We appreciate you guys. And we'll see you Wednesday live, man. Maybe we previewing the NBA Finals on the West Side. We'll see. Y'all be safe. We out of here.
Peace, y'all.